Well, we're going to have the joy of finding out more about Rafa today. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. And I work with him, so I should know him fairly well, but we're going to know more about him. So Rafa, come and join us. We're going to use this mic.
How much time do we have?
Hello, everyone. My name is Rafa. I've been attending to CBCF since, I think, the end of January. And I work at St. John's as a ministry trainee, and I'm working here as well as a ministry trainee, but most of the time I am at St. John's Church. Yeah.
There'll be some time if you want to ask questions too, but because we looked at the way to do these questions, we thought best to hear the testimony first. So I'm going to pass it back to Rafa, but do have in mind any questions you have for later.
Thank you. So, okay. My journey as a Christian, I think, started when I was about 3 or 4, or maybe 5. I don't know. My mom, she used to be, she used to not go to church at all, but then a friend of hers invited her to come to church, and then she became a Christian. She used to be a Christian when she was younger, but she had, she's gone through some tough times, and then she drifted away a bit. And then, but she became a Christian, a Protestant Christian, when I was about 3 or 4 or 5, maybe. And then I grew up in the church, but then when I was about 14, more or less, I kind of drifted away for many years. But then in 2015, I came back to church. Thank God for that. And then it was a really nice year for me. I finished my studies in Brazil. And then I was studying to pass the test in order to work as a lawyer. But then my mom, she went to Italy because she wanted to apply for her passport, her Italian passport. And then after a few months, I went to Italy as well. And then while I was there, she suggested me to come to England and then study something related to international law. And then I could go back to Brazil and then work as a lawyer. But then God changed my plans a bit. So the plan was just come here, save some money, and then study, and then come back. But then while I was working as a waiter, I felt that God was really, he was really trying to make me understand what my faith was about, because my faith, it was usually something based on my mom's faith, and it wasn't really a natural relationship between me and him. So he was really pushing me hard, if you like. I was surrounded by atheists. They were really nice people, but they were very challenging when it comes to sharing a Christian faith, and they were always asking me things, and why do I believe in things like that? Why do I trust in a book that is so old and something that was made up by the church, which is not, but anyway. So yeah, it was really challenging, and I realized that I was enjoying it, even if it was really hard and I had no vocabulary to to defend myself in a good way. God was always helping me, and then I realized that I liked it. Even if it was tough, it was something that really helped me a lot. And after a while, coming back a bit, when I moved to London, I had no idea where to go. So I was looking for places, basically based on the price that I could pay for a week. And I found a very good place in Greenwich. And that's where I started living here in London. I used to live very close to Deptford Bridge tube station, and I used to attend to a church called Devonshire Drive Baptist Church. And then in that church there was a lady that used to work at the Scullery Cafe, which is then 10 minutes down the road from here. And then that's how I found out about this place where I started working. But then in 2016, the end of 2016, I decided to move because the guy that moved to my room, he was snoring every night and I couldn't sleep. So I said to God, I think it's enough. I've been sharing rooms for the last maybe 18 months. I need to find a nice place to stay now. And then I talked to my boss. I asked him for more help, financially speaking. And then I was trying to find a place to live that was closer to my job. And then I found a few places, but then I asked God, God, I don't know which place is going to be the best one for me, but you know. So I want you to show me which place is going to be the best for me. And then I found this place very close to CBCF in Shooters Hill. And then I moved to Shooters Hill Road number 225 in, when was it? January last year. And then I started attending to St. John's. And then I was thinking, I have 7 days in my week and I just go to church once a week because the other church down in Greenwich, they had to close. And the Brazilian church that I was attending to in Leytonstone, they were nearly closing as well. So I decided, well, I should go to somewhere else since I live here around. I'm going to search for churches to start attending to. And then I found CBCF online, and then I started attending to CBCF, I think, the end of January, more or less. And then I think it was one of the most challenging years in my life, because I've been to Brazil in April for my brother's wedding, but I wasn't feeling very comfortable with my work situation here, because everything was fine. My colleagues were fine, my boss was fine, but I wasn't feeling comfortable for no reason. So I was talking to God, and then in Brazil, a lady, she is a friend with my mom, and God uses her a lot for words of wisdom and this kind of thing. And then she talked to me, and then she prophesied for me that God was preparing me to move. And then when I came back from Brazil, I think it was May last year, I talked to my boss, and then he said that he wanted to sell the coffee shop. So after I told him that I wasn't really comfortable at work, even if everything was fine, he told me that he was trying to sell the place. So then I started praying, and then I went to Eddie, the vicar at St. John's, and asked him if they had anything, but they didn't. So I really had nothing to do, because I mean, I didn't want to keep working. Okay. I didn't want to keep working in the area, even if it's not a horrible job. It's really not what I wanted to do. But at the same time, I had no choice. I mean, what can I do? So I waited on the Lord and prayed and just asked him to tell me what to do. So then my place closed, and then I was officially unemployed. And then you guys prayed for me. And then, yeah, loads of people came and offered help. But, yeah, it was a time that I had to spend only trusting on the Lord. And then after a few months, I was talking to Eddie again. And then he said that they might have something for me, but I still needed to wait. But I could apply for a Bible course in central London and then wait. So I applied for the course, not having any certainty about the future. And then I waited till September when they decided to hire me as a ministry trainee. And then they were, Eddie and Mike, they were in touch to each other. And then they decided to share me between the churches. So yeah, that's how I ended up here, more or less.
Thank you. Quite a journey. I remember at the end of Holiday Club, where Rafa had been just as common volunteer, that he was hoovering long after everyone had gone home and we were still clearing up and there were perhaps 3 or 4 people in the building. And he showed a desire to serve in a really unusual way, in that he wouldn't stop until the job got finished. And Eddie came through the door, and I also said to him, we need to get that man a job. And he said, we've already thought about this. And then when you came here, obviously you had to think of accommodation. And I don't know if you want to fill the gap there about you got offered accommodation via Trevor and Lisa.
Trevor and Lisa, they came to me first, and then Stephen and Sue, and then other people from St. John's. But it didn't seem the right moment when they offered. I think it was June or July, a few months ago. But then in, when was it? I think it was November or October. We talked again, and Eddie talked to me, and then we decided that it would be a good move for me to move to Lisa and Travis.
Well, quite a story. I'm going to just break protocol here. Does anyone want to ask Rafa anything about the testimony before we move on, or his journey with God, his calling? Because it's obviously a calling we're talking about here. Yep.
Yep, I have a stepbrother. We share the same dad, and he got married last year.
Okay, well, we're just going to move. Oh, sorry, Sue.
What does a ministry trainee do then? Practically every day.
That's the next question. That was the next question. Yeah. I think God is moving.
Basically, a ministry trainee does everything. On Mondays, I help with children here at the Boys Brigade with the toddlers, 0 to 3 years old, 4. They call it Footprints, so I help with them. We have a team of 7 people. The children come and they play games, so I'm helping here with them on Mondays. Tuesdays, I go to Central London because I have studies to do, so I have lectures, so on Tuesdays I have lectures. Wednesdays and Thursdays, I have home groups. And then on Friday, I do office cover at St. John's. I help in the office, and then I have drop-in, which is the young people, like not young people, a little bit younger than that, between 10, 11 to 14. And then, yeah, Saturdays, officially I'm off, hopefully I'm off. And then Sundays, when I'm not here, I'm helping at Sunday school at St. John's. And in the evening, I'm helping with Legacy at St. John's as well.
So quite a full week, yeah. Just also, I suppose we've covered most of what we wanted to talk about in many ways, but I don't know if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a story that really touched my heart about a testimony regarding Miss Lily, a local lady. Could you explain more?
So in July 2016, I was going through a really difficult period at work because, and it's not just here in London, everywhere in the world, when you serve people as a waiter or as a cleaner, or people really sometimes, most of them, they are nice, but a few people really, they treat you not in a very nice way. So I was a bit, I think I said to God, I had enough. I really want to move. I don't want to work like this anymore. And I would like to go back to Brazil or to go to another place. And then, but God, I went to the Brazilian church, and the message was, don't do what you want to do. Wait for the Lord. And then I said, okay, God, that was really clear. I'm going to stay. And then I think 1 month after I decided to stay, this lady, they're called Miss Lily. She lives, I think, 3 minutes walking from here. She came to the coffee shop. She's a regular customer, but that week she came and said to us, to all of us, if you guys would like to come to my house and meet my husband, they'll be really nice because he's ill. He's not doing very well. So it would be nice for you guys to visit me. And then I decided to come. And then in, I think it was December 2016 or November, I've been to her house, and her husband, he had dementia and Alzheimer's, and he was lying on his bed all the time. He didn't talk and he didn't walk, and she was always looking after him. And every time the carers used to come to help him with the things that they had to do. She used to go out for an hour, and then she used to come to the place where I used to work. And then, but then when I visited her, I was the only one that was there. I felt that God was trying to talk to her, and he wanted to use me. So I prayed, and then when I got there, we sang a hymn, and then we read the Bible, and then we prayed. And then I asked her if she wanted to give her life to Christ, and then she said yes, but she didn't know who Jesus was. So since that month in December, I've been visiting her every Friday, and then we've been reading the Bible, and we've been praying as well. And then a couple of months ago, her husband died, and it was really hard for her and for the entire family. But she's doing okay now. She still has a few personal problems, but she's doing okay. She believes in God. She struggles a bit with Jesus, and I mean, she doesn't quite understand why God would become a human being and die for us. But she's doing all right. She's doing okay. And thanks to that job that I had on working at this gallery, I had the opportunity to meet her and to meet her family and to share the gospel with her. So if I had moved to another place, I wouldn't be able to talk to her about Christ. So it was really good.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll all meet her at some point. I'm sure she'll come here too. Just very quickly and finally, and obviously if you've got questions, we'll do those. We talked very briefly on Friday about where you're looking, where you think God might be calling you into an area of ministry, because you're still not sure if it's ministry you're going to be doing, are you? So you're waiting on God and you draw close to him. Could you tell us about what your future might be if you're going into that thing? Yeah.
I think that what God is calling me to do is something related to young people. I really like to talk about sexuality, media, pop culture, and things like that. Things that I used to watch and listen to when I was younger, and that really kind of shaped my mind in a wrong way. And I do feel like we need to talk more about it, because I'm not talking specifically about the church here in England. I'm talking about the whole world. I think we do not talk much about it. So I think it's a good area to explore, if you like.
Okay, thank you. Well, we look forward to what God's got planned for you next. Has anyone here got a question that they'd like to ask? Nothing in particular. I think looking at the media is going to be very interesting for the future, especially with virtual reality and dimensions that young people will be going into.
I was just trying to think of a question. I was a bit slower than Sue gave me a chance to. What makes you relax? What do you do in your time off? What makes you relax?
I think what makes me relax, probably watching films. I think something that I really like a lot. Recently, I've been watching The Pink Panther. I'm getting to the English culture, yeah. And yeah, next one is 40 Towers. My friend David suggested me. And yeah, I really enjoy watching movies and listening to music. And hopefully I'm going to start doing some kind of sport next month, but let's pray about it, yeah.
Okay, well, this is the time to pray for Rafa. I'm going to ask him what he'd like prayer for specifically, but if two or three could come and pray for him, that would be great. What would you like prayer for?
As Sue mentioned, I still don't know exactly what I'm going to do in the future. I can stay with St. John's working as a ministry trainee for the next, I think, 2 years, for the next year, but if God wants me to do something else, after August. I don't mind as long as he can show me what he wants me to do, because I still don't know exactly where to go or what to do. I know that he wants me to talk about things, but I don't know exactly where. So I just need to know that.
Okay, well, we're also going to ask the elders to come because Rafa would like anointing. But perhaps at least a man and a woman to come up would be very good. And if you have anything that you want to give in terms of Bible scriptures, we'll make sure we write them for him too for later. This is your part to fill.
Well, Father, we thank you so much for this man. Thank you so much for bringing Rafa amongst us. Lord, it's amazing the strings you had to pull to get him here amongst us. But Lord, we thank you that he recognizes that your hand is upon his life. And Lord, we want to join in with that. We want to join in and recognize that you certainly are part of his life. You set him apart to serve you. And therefore, we want to anoint him with oil. And as he's asked for that, we thank you, Lord, he's looking for what you would have him do. So we want to anoint you with oil in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in the past, people were anointed with oil for service, for leadership. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit might come upon our brother in a powerful way. And you continue, as you already have done, to use him to build your kingdom, to build others up. And Lord, we know we're called upon to be worshippers first, to be those who love the Lord Jesus. And we pray that within his heart, that love for you might grow from day to day, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, Rafa, it's really exciting to have you in this church. It's really exciting. And like, as you know, the last couple of months, it's all been about missionary work, people coming in our church and talking about what they've done around the world, and Trevor and Lisa's family, and people coming in and saying about what's happening in the world. And God's using you in the same way. You're a light for God. It's fantastic just to sit there and to see you talk and hear you talk and see you, the actions of kindness that you bleed that, you give that out. You just naturally do that through God, through your relationship. And Lord, I just want to pray that you'll bless him more in the work that you have for him. And we don't know. We can't give you instant words about where you're going, because that's God's plan. That's God's plan. And that's the exciting thing about it. If we knew everything that was coming our way, life would be really boring. You know, you've got an exciting life coming up. And you're on a mission. This is your mission. And we thank you that you're in this area. And maybe in the near future, you'll be off somewhere else. But that's your mission with God. So you look up and you look to God and you learn and you absorb from people around you and you give out again, because that's love in action, and this is what this place is about. All right? And just be blessed. And don't stop talking to that woman. Don't stop talking to your mum, your stepsister, brothers, whatever. Your family. It's important. Be who you are in Jesus. Amen.
Okay, this is a word for you. We're trying to be kind to each other, you see. Don't ever stop being kind and truthful. This is Proverbs 3. Let kindness and truth show in all you do. Write them down in your mind as if on a tablet. Then you will be respected and pleasing to God and to man. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in everything you do, and he will give you success. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. I think trusting in the Lord has already been shown by you, and he wants you to walk that straight path. He wants you to know him, fix your eyes on him, and not be taken onto a broad path. Okay. So in his might and not yours.
Whilst praying for you, I got three Bible passages. And I got them round the wrong way. So I'm going to give you it in reverse order. God will never give you too much. He will never give you more than enough that you can stand under. Okay. And then he gave me the parable of the talents. You know, where he gave one talent to one worker and two to another, and the one worker went off and buried his. You're not in that group. You've gone off and you've used what God's given you. And so he wants to give you more. And so the final Bible passage, which I can't remember where it is in the Bible, but Google it. Thank goodness for Google. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Heavenly Father, I want to pray, Lord, for Raph. I want to pray, Lord, that you prosper him. Father, I thank you, Lord, that he's been good and honourable, Lord, with what you've already given him. And Father, I pray, Father, for more of you, that you give him enough and you don't overwhelm him, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord, that you bless him and you open up the ways for him, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I was just looking at Isaiah 55, and all through your talk, you were talking about how God had other plans, and it just sums it up in verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And then on the other one that I picked out as I was reading through that jumped out, verse 12, it says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." So I just want to pray that in, and I think you've already acknowledged God. You've already acknowledged that he wants to take you on a different path, and that faithfulness will reap many benefits. So I'd just like to pray that in. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Raph. I thank you that you brought him here. Father, that the path that you've taken for him in going to Devonshire Drive, in going to the Brazilian church and then St. John's and then looking on the internet and finding here. Our Father, it is joyous to see your hand at work. Father, and sometimes we don't even realise what's happening until we look back. But Father, we rejoice that Raph is part of our family and that he is acknowledging you and that he is putting you first and following your will for his life, not the will of others, but your will. And Father, I thank you that you understand what that's like, that you understand being on this earth and doing jobs and things that others just wouldn't do, and being amongst people that others just don't want to be amongst. Father, I thank you that Raph is reflecting you. Pray that you will keep him strong, lead him out in joy and peace in everything that he does. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Raph, I feel the Lord saying, if you humble yourself, he will raise you up.
Yes, Lord, we just lift up all these prayers to you, Lord, all the ones that have been spoken out over Rafa, all the ones that have been in our hearts and that are from the congregation, Lord. We lift them all up to you. We ask that you'd seal your work by your Holy Spirit, Lord, all that you're leading Rafa into, Lord, that it would come to fruition, because your word does not return empty. And everything that you're speaking into him and building into his life, Lord, you're going to bring that to fruition. So we just bless you for that. Bless you for all that you're going to do and for all that we see in Rafa today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope so, by the grace of God. at a point, I was always feeling helpless. And I'm sure Rafa, you felt like that too. But now, as we are given in the book of Psalm 100, verse 2, let me read that. I come to serve the Lord with joy and with praises on my lips. Why? Because I've realized that there is so much help. Not only help, sometimes He allows things to happen to us just to prepare us. Certainly, God has a purpose for you. And verse 3 of Psalm 100 goes on to say, "Know the Lord is good. He made us, and we belong to Him. We are His people, and certainly He will take care of us. Our God will continue to take care of you." Amen.
Thank you, Rafa. Thank you. Psalm 100, jubilate, joyful, joyful psalm.